Welcome back, our faithful listeners, for our second?
Very big morning to everyone on their way to uni, on their way to work. Actually, we're on uni break right now.
Not every uni is on uni.
Not every uni.
That's true. And we're still here, so we are dedicated, up, ready. We've had our coffees. Have you had your coffee, Raph?
I had my coffee in my cereal. As you know, I have a weird way of my caffeine, my daily caffeine consumption.
Oh, amazing.
please don't question.
Yeah, I'm just moving on.
I mean, you live with me. Like, you tolerate this already.
I really do.
But yeah, we're here. We're coming in live from the Sydney University studio.
Surge FM, obviously 90.9. You guys know that if you're listening. And today, what are we going to be talking about, Raquel? We're going to be talking about masks, our mask making.
Literally and metaphorically, of course.
Well, no, when I was saying the title, I immediately thought of when it was, I was so little. We had a big family, like, Christmas thing, but a couple weeks before Christmas, and we had so many people over at our house, and me and my sister and our friend who were visiting from Europe, we all got super creative at what's arts and crafts store, and we bought heaps of feathers and glitter. And
I loved those stores, the colors,
yeah,
the different textures.
The toxic fumes of paint.
And the little diamantes as well, yeah. And stickers that I put all over my textbooks. Yeah,
but yeah, we made masks, and everyone wore them for our Christmas party.
Oh, like a masquerade party?
Yeah.
It was a masquerade
party.
I love that.
Not a ball. I've always wanted to go to a masquerade ball.
We should hold one.
Yes.
Or maybe not a ball.
But yes, so mask making. There are so many situations that you can think of where you have a mask on, you don't even realize. So you have your professional mask, your mask with your friends, when you're in your family. We have a mask right now on our podcast. We're showing the more energetic side of ourselves.
And of course, the mask that you're talking about is more about the way that you portray yourself or the way that you carry yourself in different environments and different settings. So like you were saying, like in the professional corporate world, perhaps.
You're selling a certain angle of yourself. It's a mask that... Exactly. It masks certain parts of you that aren't exactly suited towards a professional setting or a family setting.
Definitely. I'm definitely a lot more conscious, like the way that I speak.
Yes.
When I'm in the office or when I'm in the city or talking to someone really important, even on this radio podcast right now.
So aware of everything you say.
Everything you say. As much as we want to be really casual and really outgoing and bubbly, there's also half of my brain telling me, please do not.
Don't slip. Freudian slips. I have had that come up so much recently that people have just been like, this is a Freudian slip. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just exposing myself too much. My masks aren't working quite so well.
I mean, it is the mid-sem break after all.
That's true. You relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Take those masks off. But one thing that you can really say is like a physical aspect of these masks is in the way that you dress, the way that you girls put on makeup. I think that's one thing that I was thinking about this morning. I have work right after, so I'm in my corporate outfit, and that just immediately puts on a different attitude. I put on a different attitude. That formal... bit more censored to what you
say. Definitely. Even when I put my glasses on for when I'm going to study, like, I'm just more switched on.
Oh, it's so helpful.
And I feel smarter and more in control.
There's the psychological phenomenon. It's physical association. So where it's, you know, when you change your study space, and sometimes some people that works for them, some people it doesn't. But the reason you sit at a desk, the positions that you hold, your brain associates that with study. So if you wear glasses when you study, that can become a trigger for your brain to be like, hey, this is time to focus in.
And with that, I feel as though that's why I've even moved out of home now, just because I associated my environment at home with sleeping, watching TV, eating, socializing with the family. And I think that's it's such a great like recharge. Like during the weekend, I will have big feasts at home, big barbecue. Thanks, Dad. and that's all. And it's good. Like you need that break. And I live quite far north and we live on amazing property, bushland and dogs and animals and the lot. And I think, yeah, I definitely associate that with relaxation. And I just cannot do much uni work there. That's my issue that I'm having. So, and do work, of course. So that's why I've moved out. And I think a lot of people can relate in that way. I think you as well. Living it in the Gold Coast.
Oh yeah, I'm the Goldie. We moved houses. So the house that I grew up in, I was at school in, we're in a completely different house now. So even that like study that I did in that house did not carry through to the new one. And I've spent barely any time there. I think COVID was the most time that I've spent there in a while. It's physical associations, big thing. And that's, I think, why it works for makeup as well and your outfit. You know the men in suits effect, when the minute a man wears a suit is immediately more attractive?
I do. I am familiar.
Yes. It's not your Freudian slip, is it? We'll just get all the men we know to parade now in here.
Oh no, Jules, we've gone there now. We've gone too far.
But it's also really comparable to method acting. And back in primary school days, I had a friend who was obsessed with James Franco, and she always used to say this story about how he used to work at McDonald's. And he used to put on different accents and different characters for every different customer. And so that was his method acting. And that's what he did at McDonald's.
I think that's called like multiple personality something.
Bipolar. Yeah. Oh, don't all actors have that?
I mean, that's great. Love that for her.
James.
Him.
Yeah,
oh,
it's he, yeah, no comment.
No comment.
Special
child.
Yes. But, you know, you shouldn't judge.
No, and we're not judging today, but I think we will always judge. I mean, it's in our nature, judge. It's human nature.
I do always say this as judgment. You need to be able to judge if someone's coming at you with a knife, that your life is in danger. Absolutely. And in the same way that, you know, that translates into superficial judgments. And it's not a bad thing. I think it's really important to be able to have judgments and make judgments because you get better at it with life experience.
Absolutely. And if you have no judgment, then you're just naive to the world. And
you're ignorant. You're ignorant. Yeah. It's like when you're just ignoring the red flags.
Mm.
And I think not judging a book by its cover, it's such a, especially these days when people are so much more open about their feelings and their emotions, it can be really hard sometimes to, you have to be sort of overly cautious about what you're saying in what environments and how you're saying it, because you can't judge someone, and if you say something that seems like you're judging someone, they can get offended, and it's really, yeah, it's touch and go there a little bit. So I think it realizing that having those judgments is really, really helpful. I think that it's a bit underrated these days.
And I think judgment comes with having more cultural competence and understanding. And we were talking about this in our last podcast, in our last show, that if you don't really understand another person's background or that their background might influence their perceptions and behaviors and trends on things, then if you don't understand that connection, then there can be a lot of issues and conflict and tensions between people. And I think there was like an example about tips. So in restaurants, some cultures, if you go to Japan or China, this is stereotypical, I'm not exactly sure if it's all around the world, but like all around in China and Japan, but if you go there and you give them a tip, then they find that insulting.
Yes, and they have, I think, I can't remember exactly which country, but it was from a friend of a friend of a friend's story, that if you finish all of your food, they keep bringing you.
Yeah, that's in Japan.
So,
I think.
Yeah, you have to leave it. So, and that was something that they didn't realize. And
they're very sensitive, I think, to the way you behave. Whereas in Australia, I know that we're a lot more laid back, and like the tips are sort of just like, oh, you tip or you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, as students, like, I don't personally.
I try to tip when
I try to.
You know, like. Having worked in hospitality, you want to give a little bit of contribution.
Definitely.
It is hard being a student.
But yeah, just like going back to that, so different cultures perceive like different behaviors differently, and you have to be understanding of that. And with understanding that, you'll have better judgment and better competence when dealing with sort of high-pressure situations.
Definitely. I can say from my personal experience, I've always had this issue because there's nothing physical about me that says, hey, I'm not exactly Australian. Mm. So people just assume that I'm from here, I have the same culture, and there are, you know, little things, they build up. It's accumulation of differences, and it builds up, and it, you know, leads to some people calling me weird, or some people saying that my habits are just, you know, strange.
But that's your own unique mask, right?
It is.
So, I mean, like, your mask can cover you, or it can, like, make who you are, because, I mean, we subconsciously put on these masks, right?
It's so it's leaning into different aspects.
We don't put it on purpose, right? So it's not like we're faking it, but.
Exactly. It's not like faking a mask, but it's leaning into certain aspects of your personality that you want to portray in a different setting. Because you're not going to go to a fancy dinner restaurant in your pajamas and be your lazy, my Friday night self eating pizza in bed. Like, it's, you know, different settings call for different situations. And that comes with judgment, that knowing when to put on different aspects of yourself. Essentially put on show what parts you want to highlight.
Yeah, and I think just with that, moving on into makeup,
yes.
I think is a really powerful mask that's being used now, and we're seeing it all over social media, on YouTube.
For transgender people, I have observed that lots of, particularly men who have transgendered into women, they find that makeup is a really powerful tool for them to feel more confident in their new selves, and I think that is a mask of itself, because they are leaning into this new aspect
and,
of their personality. Yeah,
and you can change your whole identity with makeup. Like, I mean, it's not really, I mean, I guess, I suppose for some people it might be, yeah, changing your identity and changing the way you look. But I think that's just incredible that we've moved into an age now where that's, and it's becoming more acceptable, and like, which is awesome, and it's being seen as an art.
It really is not. It's similar. It's really comparable to fashion. You know, a creative expression that is completely individual and personal, because your fashion, the same way you choose what you wear every day, what you feel comfortable and confident in. And I was just thinking of this song that's like, some girls wear skinny jeans and go out on Friday night, kiss new lips. Other girls want to wear sweatpants, and having that creative platform to express yourself, it is really important. And that's a lot, yeah, it comes with makeup, fashion. Even for men, fashion is a really important thing. And I know, definitely talking to a lot of my guy friends, or our guy friends, it's something that's sort of very subdued for masculinity. Men wanting to push that they care about how they look. Some do, but
yeah, I was just trying to research that, like, on top with like the makeup and males and females and transgender, of course. I was on YouTube, because YouTube is like the platform for makeup and tutorials, and I'm sure a lot of our female listeners can relate here, definitely. So, and I remember watching back in the day, I was a bit younger, watching makeup tutorials, but I used to watch Nikki tutorials, and she is, she has, I think, nearly like 12 million subscribers. Like, she is one of the most well-known makeup artists on YouTube, and she really empowers, you know, being different, and has a lot of color in her makeup, and is really inspiring for a lot of girls and boys growing up. But what we didn't know until a few months ago was she was actually transgender. And it was such a shock to the whole YouTube community. I mean, that didn't really change our perception of her, really. Well, it didn't, of mine at least.
Just finding out that fact.
But it was like she had that sort of, say, mask for such a long, and she'd been doing YouTube for like tens of years, or like since it sort of came out, and no one knew. So I think that just goes to show the power of makeup and the power of the way that you carry yourself and the mask that you have.
The way you express
yeah.
Very personal, metaphorical decisions and actions that you have.
Yeah. And I love that for her. Like, I love...
That's great.
I love that she can be herself, and in today's age, that's becoming more accepting now than ever. And I am definitely, as Raquel, I am all for that. I'm supporting her and supporting people who want to portray themselves, or like do what they want, right? Express themselves through makeup, and it's just awesome to see that. I thought
that is really cool. It's use masks all the time. It's such a
speechless
thing. I'm speechless a little bit. I didn't know. You were just Googling away.
It just popped into my head. Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's good. I think that it does show how subconscious that mask is, and you don't realize, because you know that voice in your head, it's always going on, and you know that there are certain things you're going to do and say when you're in certain scenarios, but you know all of you to yourself, but others don't know that. So what's it called? Disparity?
Disparity, yeah.
Yeah, getting out. But one show that we have briefly skimmed over that really...
Apart from The Bachelor, which we've been religiously watching every week.
That's a mask kind of in itself in reality TV shows. But The Masked Singer quite literally is hiding behind a absolutely...
A big costume.
Elaborate.
Thing.
So how do you say, the staged. It's staged. That's the word. Elaborately staged.
Yes, Jules. Yes.
Losing my language.
Yeah, well, so if you haven't watched the show, it's an Australian TV show where celebrities put on a costume,
this
they put on a mask.
Celebrities.
Oh, yes.
So that was, like, surprising.
Were they all sporting? No, not all of them.
They were a mix of actors, actresses, comedians.
I wouldn't say they were A-list celebrities.
No, they
were. But they were known to the community.
They were relatively known. And it was a big mix between known and unknown.
Yeah.
But for me, I found it most interesting, the sporting celebrities, because some of them could really sing. And being the masked singer... It was a show about singing, so all of them had to sing. And
you couldn't see... Sorry, just to tell the people that haven't seen it yet. But so they come out on stage in their costumes. So, for example, one of them was like a what's it called? A hammerhead shark.
Oh, yeah.
Just like all...
real neck lizard.
The lizard. There was the...
fluffy cat.
Oh, yeah, oh my God.
That would have been Rebel Wilson.
There were so many weird, goofy... cat. Characters, but it was cool. It was really engaging, and they came out on stage and sang a song, and the judges, after the song was said, the song said, oh my goodness,
they just talked. We are singing right now.
The judges guessed who it was, and then it went to the audience, and Australia sort of voted as well.
So every episode, three singers sung. Gosh, all the ten sing. Three singers sang, and then they were voted who were the favorites, and then the least favorite had to reveal their mask, which I found kind of interesting, because you'd think that you would vote for the one who you wanted to see most. But yeah. then it's kind of also they had like a competition part of it, which was the most liked singer.
So they voted who they didn't like, I think. Oh wait, well, no, no, they voted who they liked
in the
oh yeah, likes. Okay.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
We're great at explaining this. Doing so well.
We're getting better.
Yes, sweetie.
Anyway, so yeah, and then the person
the
that didn't
liked
the least like
reveal their identity. Mm. But so the first few, I mean, to be honest, as a sports person, you're training your body, you're not training your voice compared to a singer. So it's kind of natural that they were going to be the first ones to be revealed. But considering that they were athletes, or they are athletes, I was really impressed. They could seriously sing.
Yeah, there was a cricket star that I was really surprised.
Oh, yeah. I forgot his name.
But it's like you don't really see that side of them.
No, and it is, because that's all you see in the media is that one side, that sport. That one mask that they're leaning into.
Yeah.
When you were doing some hand gestures before, I just thought the most relevant mask that we haven't talked about is the COVID mask.
Oh my goodness. True.
But I was thinking about this in the shopping center in Broadway the other day. It's so much easier for people to steal when they have a mask on.
Right.
Like, that's kind of scary. I'm not saying that I saw anyone steal, that I would do it myself. Just, I'm not advocating for stealing. I need to flag that. But it just seems, your nose and your mouth are really prominent features on your face. They really shape your identity. And hiding them is really interesting, but I think...
But they're also, like, really uncomfortable to wear.
Yeah.
Like, not really many people are speaking about this topic, but they're so uncomfortable.
Gotta be honest, I have not worn one very often. I think I wore it when I went to the Apple store a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, we have very different perceptions on
yeah.
this COVID pandemic.
Another interesting topic to talk about a bit later on.
Oh no. We've got a neuroscience / philosopher on one side of the table, and we've got a business woman on the other side. How do you think this is going to turn out?
We've literally got science versus the economy. Like, it's clash of clans.
I've actually got some statistics. So, like, for crime, for crime during COVID, like most thefts and robberies and sexual offences have actually decreased substantially since COVID.
That's because of social distancing. That's not particularly to do with masks. If you just had the masks, I mean, I'm not saying that people are stealing. Of course, I'm not implying that. But I'm just thinking that in terms of identifying people as well, walking across the street, I saw a friend who I thought that I knew. And it took me a really long time to realize if it was that person because they're wearing a mask. And I just had to, like, really awkwardly stare at them until I could figure out if that was them.
And even if you do see that they are, you probably just walk past, because being in isolation, I felt my social skills just drastically take a hit.
I was the opposite. I was just dying. Well, I mean, I was on the Gold Coast. You can't really get more isolated than that. people love the Gold Coast. I love the Gold Coast as a holiday place, but living there, especially now since I've moved to Sydney and I have so much of my life established here, going back there is so isolating.
Is there much crime in the Gold Coast?
Or
just sort of the same here?
Kind of ish. It depends which suburb you're in. That's like everywhere. It depends which suburb you're in because of, the environments. There were actually theft in my street during COVID up on the Gold Coast, but it wasn't really serious. They didn't take anything super important. I think they just took some, like, of the cash,
just
the key bowl,
something small. Oh yeah, nothing.
And then they ran out. And they called them on surveillance and everything. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
It's interesting.
Well, there has been, like, a few thefts, like, in the US. with like the masks and stuff. Like there was someone who stole $780 of energy drinks. Great. And he threatened the employee saying he was tested positive for COVID-19. So he's actually leveraging the disease itself as a threat.
That's the thing. Like it's, if you go out into the public and say that, people are going to avoid you. It's like when, what was that movie, Spy? And she was walking through the street, in crowded street, and she had to get through really quickly. So she just said, I shut myself. And people immediately moved away. So, but like, it's, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know.
People, yeah.
Also, in America, they did have statistics. I'm not sure what it's like now. I assume that because it's become public, it stopped. But people who were shot and also tested positive for COVID, even if they didn't have any symptoms, but they tested positive, were put down as having died of COVID.
That's right.
So you can't trust statistics.
Just skewing the results.
Statistics are a must.
And in China, really? Let's just not even start with China. Gosh. Because
I think on that note, we should play our song.
Okay, so we're just taking a break now. Well, this is the end of podcast 3.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll just be going onto a break and we'll be speaking a bit more about masks.
Yep, just in a couple moments.
And distinguishing disguises, which I'm really looking forward to. So thank you so much. All right. And we'll talk soon.